Welcome, Pedro Rodriguez. Home, Pedro, where are you at? I saw you walking in. There you are, from Ecuador back home. I've got a lot of video I want to look at, and he'll be giving a report to the church about that missions trip. Also, if you notice the new digs, aren't those beautiful? The greenery, all the new work that's done. Phyllis and Glenn Courtney and Wren and Rose Helwig did that, and then Phyllis is had partial knee replacement this week, so keep her in your prayers as she recuperates. Today, a two-part message again for the church and for many that are finding themselves in a place that need a little more freedom in your life. Anyone here today say, I could use just a little more freedom in my life? If your hand isn't up, it's because your arm's numb. There are constantly things that are trying to restrict your freedom, trying to take away your freedom and your joy. They're joy killers. And these things that attempt to take away your freedom and your joy are things that can be overcome through the power of praise. And we're going to talk about that this morning, the pathway of praise in your life. Let me talk to you just a little bit, and I'm going to just set the stage with some scripture, starting in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, the Word of God says that I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. How many are glad you're clean because of the word of God? How many of you understand that you can't get any cleaner then the word makes you? That's the ultimate in cleanliness spiritually, so that you can stand in the presence of the Almighty God in acceptance because of the word. So Jesus was talking to those who have taken the word into their heart and become clean through it. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. That says stand, be vigilant, and be constant. And he promises you back, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, then in verse 5, he repeats this again almost. It sounds as if he's saying again, as he started out in the very first verse of chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are plucked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, let me explain something about that scripture that you understand. Many preachers have tried to use that scripture as a scare tactic to get people to serve God, because they've likened that fire into being taken and thrown into eternal hell. And actually what Jesus is saying, that individual is useless and their life will amount to nothing in the actual interpretation. So don't let people scare you into heaven. Let God love you into heaven. Amen? The Bible says this, that if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So this is what Jesus is basically saying. He says that I'm the vine, and a branch that's attached to me is fed through the substances of the vine, right? So if a vine has a branch on it, and the branch is a grapevine, it's going to bear what? Grapes. It's going to have an attribute that's paralleled with the vine. So if a tree is a peach tree and it has a branch on it, the branch is going to bear what? Peaches. Because it's an attribute that it's character of the vine. So Jesus says this, as the vine, you're going to have attributes that are character of me. You're going to be like me. And in order, and this is the good news. You don't have to work at being like me because the Word's made you clean. He says it's going to be a natural outcome of serving me in total, complete dependency. Because he said, away from me, you can't do anything. How many knows that to be true? So he said, then if you're in the place that you should be, just the place that you should be, which is attached to the vine, which is me, and you have your nutriment, your spiritual nutriment that comes from me, then your character and your life is going to be an outcropping of me. And away from me, you can't do a thing. But as long as you're in me, what comes out of me is going to come into you. It's going to be part of you. So let's talk about just a minute what comes out of the vine right now. We know this, that the vine, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent by the Father to this earth to live in the flesh. It's called the incarnate God, the God and flesh all in one, all man, all God, all at one time. That the incarnate God walked among us and we touched him and hugged him and he touched us and we understood what it was like. He did the miracles. He did all of these great things that God and God alone can do to prove who he was and to show us what God was like. And so we attached ourselves to this vine by the name of Jesus Christ, who then died for us when he was absolutely sinless, lived a sinless life, but then he took on all the sins of mankind, died. He told these people that didn't understand in symbol and form, he said, in 3 days I'm going to raise, he said, you can tear this temple down, but in 3 days I'm going to build it back up again, and he did. 3 days he rose again. If you believe he rose again, say amen. Amen. He rose again. And when he rose, he walked among the people that were there for 40 days and did miracles. 40 days of incredible miracles to prove himself to be the risen Son of God. He was now, had shed his earthly body. He had ascended to be with the Father. He'd taken on the glory that he had laid down when he came back to earth the first time as a baby. And now he walked on earth as the glorious risen Savior, Jesus our Lord. And so many, many, many people begin to grow in this unity of him being the vine and them the branches because he proved himself to be who he was. Then he said this, that I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. How many are glad about that? And how many, let me ask you, can say amen that I've received the comfort he sent? Can you say amen? He said, I'll send you a comforter, the Holy Ghost. This is the same one John talked about. He said, I baptize you with water. John said that. But he said, I'm going to send one who's able to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I like a little fire in my walk with him, don't you? I need it because I need it to separate me from the things that try to take away my confidence and my courage and tries to put chains on me and tries to cause me to be in captivity instead of living in the fullness of who I am. Now, if I am and you are, and the answer to this is yes, this is true, but if I'm attached to the vine, and that's the only way I can be attached to Jesus, and I have the nutriment of the vine in me, then a natural thing's going to happen in my life. I'm going to be producing fruit. I don't know of a branch in the world that has to have counseling because they're worried if the grapes are going to come out on that branch. That branch is going to produce grapes because it's a natural outcropping of the vine. You see, it all came through the vine. I'm not concerned about that as a branch. I know that I have a nutriment that flows through my veins from Emmanuel, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that gives me the power to be what he is, not what I am. How many are glad you're not what you are? Everybody ought to have your hand up again. Once again, if your arm's numb, rub it, will you? Because it's there. I just want you to know that. I'd like you to preach with me. If your jaw's working, say amen. Amen. Okay, let's do this together today. So when we have this natural outcoming in our lives, Satan tries to come in and tells you this. Satan uses the most ridiculous arguments against you. He started out with Jesus when he knew Jesus because Jesus was his creator. You see, Satan is a created being. He is not omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. He was created by God. And the John says that in the beginning was the what? The Word. And that's the Word that Jesus talked about that makes you clean. And the Word was with God, and he created and spoke everything into existence. So Satan knew who he was, even in the carnage, even in the flesh. And he comes to him and he says, if you're the Son of God... Now, that's not an oxymoron. That's stupidity. He knew he was talking to. He knew who he was. But he tried to work on the flesh side of him. He tried to work on the humanity of him. And I'm going to tell you this. That's where Satan tries to work on you. He can't work on the spirit side of you because the spirit side of you is the nutriment of the vine. And you can't dilute the power of the vine. You understand that? As long as that branch is receiving, as long as you're in the Word, as long as you're a child of God, as long as the Word has saved you and redeemed you and made you pure, there is no devil in hell that can come against the power of the Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you something. I was praying this morning, and I said, Father God, I pray this every Sunday. I pray this before I go into a meeting. I pray this before when I'm out of town, wherever I'm at. I pray this, Father God, I ask the Holy Spirit to be in this room. If you'll say amen, that's amen. And God, I ask the Holy Ghost to let the Shekinah glory of God fill this tabernacle this morning. If you agree with that, say amen. And God, I ask you to move in us. Amen. And then I said this, and I said, Father, if there's any contrary spirits, don't let them hamper the spirit. And I start, don't say amen, because I started to, and the God said to me, just a minute, do you think that my precious spirit is fragile? That's what God spoke to me. He said, do you think that he's timid? And I was rebuked by the Father. And I said, no, I didn't mean it like that, but I was praying like that. God, if there's something I've done that would keep this church from hearing your word today, or something that would come in here and try to stop the move of God, don't let it. And God spoke to me and said, who do you think you are? Who do you think someone is or something is? Nothing can prevent my power when I move in a place. So there's no contrary word. There's no contrary spirit. There's nothing when I've prayed this every time I go someplace. Now I'm praying in a different way. I'm saying, precious Holy Ghost, come in and run out the devil and do what you mean to do, because we are branches, and the outcropping of who we are is as natural as a branch of a grapevine producing grapes. You see, our trust is in God, and we find this, that this morning, praise is going to be the vehicle that takes us to the victory. The Bible says in Daniel, the 6th chapter, an incredible story of truth. Darius, this king who had conquered great conquerors and come in now of the Medes and the Persians, the king of Babylon was subject to him and defeated. And now Darius had come in, and children of Israel under captivity in his reign. He appointed 120 governors over the land to take care of the land, and sets three administrators or prime ministers over the land. And one of those prime ministers was one of the people that had been conquered of Israel by the name of Daniel. And he puts him as one of these three, and he was doing such a wonderful job because Daniel came in and he cleaned up the corrupt politicians. How many say we need a Daniel today? God will send one if we pray for one. Daniel was cleaning up the corrupt politicians. How do you get that, Pastor, in reading it? The satraps were made accountable to them, talking about the three, so that the king might not suffer loss. There was some stuff going on in the kingdom. And Daniel said, I'm not going to just serve God in partiality. I'm going to serve God completely. And whatever position God puts me in, I'm going to do my best. So he told the guys that were doing bribery and payoffs and taking all kinds of bribes, that stuff's over. This isn't our money. This is the kingdom's money. And so he starts being right before God as he was because he had the word in him. He was right. And the king recognized it as a financial blessing. But he was honest. You see, one of the very first things you have to have for the vine to pump that life-giving blood through you and to stay attached to that vine is honesty. Oh, residue. Well, praise God. How many say honesty is important? Yeah. Honesty before God. You say, oh, that. What is that? That means you never tell a fib. Honesty is when you're open before God and you say, search me and look at me and tell me the truth. And whatever it is, let me not try to deny or step away from, but let me accept the truth and grow through that truth in my life. God help me to project that to everyone else. The next thing he had to have was holiness. And holiness was an attribute of this man. And he suffered because of his holiness, and he suffered because of his honesty. Because every day he would go to his house, and he would get down in the morning, and he would praise God. And every day at noon, he would come home from his break, and he would praise God. Every evening at the end of the day, Daniel would come in and he would get down on his knees and open his windows to the east and he would praise God. The God in the temple of Jerusalem, he gave glory and honor to God. And he worshiped God and give him praise. And so here he goes. He's a man of honesty. He's a man of holiness. And he's a man of praise. And let me tell you something this morning. If you can put those three attributes in your life, there's going to be some chain breaking going on in your life where Satan has tried to hold you captive by things that you don't want to be held captive. You see, the problem is with Christians, sometimes we walk around with where the chain of sin has been broken, and we don't have that big ball we're dragging anymore like this that says that we're not free, but we can't go and do like we want to. It's been severed, but we've left the old dangling chains and the handcuffs on and the leg irons on, and we're walking around with these things that are on us, thinking that, well, you know what, at least I don't have sin in my life, whereas I'm a sinner anymore. I've been set free with that, and you know, I'm just a human, and I guess it's okay. As much as they're uncomfortable, as much as they kind of hamper me a little bit, I can still go and do what I want to. So I'm just going to go on with these handcuffs on with a couple links of chain hanging down, and my leg iron is on, but the ball is gone of sin. So I'm just going to walk around with these restrictions in my life and be like Paul, because Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, but it didn't stop him from being who he was. He said it was an irritant. An irritant is different than a restriction in your life. And when we still have the residue of the past hanging on to us, the devil's going to take advantage of that, and he's going to use it as a chaining of you instead of the freedom God has given you through the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life as a recipient of that glory and that praise. So Daniel pretty much had everything taken off of him. He didn't have a ball and chain. He didn't have the residue of the fact that he was living in captivity, even though he was, God promoted him to where he was. And Daniel learned how to be free in captivity. When I was studying this, the Lord spoke to me and made this very clear to me, that if you break the chains on you with praise, that there's no prison can hold you. You see, it starts with you. And if you break the chains that are on you with praise, no prisons can hold you. I don't care what kind of prison tries to take you and put you into its captivity and shuts the doors and bolts them? It's impossible. You see, Daniel kept his degree of holiness up until his holiness out of jealousy politically and envy because of his being set into the top spot. The rest of these evil men went to the king and they made a silly rule. They said, for 30 days, we're not going to worship nobody but you, and anybody that does is going to the lion's den. And Daniel said this, there's one thing I'm going to do with my praise, and I want you to listen to this morning, because I'm starting to feel the freedom. I'm starting to feel what God's going to do here this morning. And I know he's going to set some people free this morning that are still dragging around leg irons and hand chains and are tired of it this morning, that wants to be light and free in the power of the Holy Spirit. Daniel said that when they came to my house after this law was made and hid around the corner and watched to see what I was doing wrong and what wasn't right, they couldn't find anything in my life. The only thing they could find was one thing. They found out this, that man prays three times a day like clockwork, and we're going to go after that, and we're going to try to get him to stop praying, we're going to try to get him to stop praising, and we're going to try to get him to stop looking to his God. Let me explain something to you this morning. Your consistency in praise is the most important thing you can have in your life. I don't care what the circumstance it is, don't let anything stop you from praising him. Praise him in the morning. My friends, listen to me. I was raised in absolute humble settings, in poverty, with a preacher that had a little bitty country church, and God spoke to him and told him to pastor 32 years to about between 50 and 75 people, and never one time did I hear my dad say, my worth and my value is gauged on the number of people. He said, God said to me, if I've called you to preach to 10,000 or to pour yourself out to one, what difference does it make to you as long as I call you? You see, he was free. He could do what God called him to do and be what God called him to be. My friends, the world has this system that says, you know, if you're being blessed by God, that you grow in these ways. You become here and you become that. That's baloney. That Greek word I like to use. The freedom of God has nothing to do with the success standards of the world. Freedom of God is when we learn to push through with praise until the chains are broken on our lives. That's the difference. He got down on his knees and prayed. Chapter 6, verse 10 says that three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks. That's praise, isn't it? He didn't get out and go, oh God, the wolves are on my trail and the bear's at the door and I'm just barely going to make it, oh God. He got down and he said, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Nimphi. You're Jehovah Elohim, the God of all gods, and I love you and I praise you. You're never going to fail, and your strength is my strength, and the strength through the vines coming through the branches. And he praised God in the power of who God was, not who he was. My father used to sing, praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Did you ever hear that song? Praise him. Praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. When you start doing that, everybody in the church will start praising him. Well, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Then he starts singing, love him. Love him. You ever sing that song? Praise God, stand up just a second. Let's just take a minute. Let's just break a chain. Who wants to break a chain this morning? Let's just sing it right now. Let me lead you in it. Let's sing it. Praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him. Praise him when the sun goes. Now do it. it. Let's sing it again. Praise Him. Praise Him. Clap your hands. Worship with Him. In the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning, love Him in the noon. Love Him, love Him, love Him when the sun goes down. Hallelujah, praise Him right now. God, we praise You right now. We lift our voice to You right now. Holy is the name. Holy is the name of God. Hallelujah. God, I pray You start breaking chains right now and taking away those things, those arm bands and those leg bands in the name of Jesus and free them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I praise You, Lord. I thank You, Father. Glory to Your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. That king said to him, they said, we've made a little law, and we're not going to let anybody praise anybody but You. And they said, hey, we caught an old boy that's broke the rules. And they brought Daniel up to him. And it killed the king because he loved him. And he tried to figure out a way to rescue Daniel. Verse 14, chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. But he couldn't do it. He was tied to his law. So he called him in there and he said this to Daniel. If there's anything about you I know, you're consistent. If anything about you I know, you're constantly trusting Him. If there's anything about you I'm convinced is that regardless of the circumstances, even a decree that I made, your love for your God is greater than my law. That's what he said. So he said this. So the king gave the order very reluctantly. And they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, listen to this is what he said. May your God whom you serve continually rescue you. This is why I'm telling you that you can never allow anything to get between you and praise. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So he gave the order. The stone was brought in place over the mouth. Verse 17 of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the ring of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. God will allow you to go through situations that can't be changed, that won't be changed. Look at me closely. That has nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with God's favor or lack of favor. That is inerrance and it's heresy. That's what's been preached around the country, that your success dictates your place with God. If that's true, half of this Bible is a lie, and none of it's a lie because that isn't true. God will let situations come in your life that man won't change or God won't change because He wants you to learn your freedom is not in predicaments or circumstances. If you can get free in yourself in the middle of a jail cell or a lion's den, then no lion's den can hold you. That's what God wants to show you. That's where your freedom comes from. So they put him in there, and the king couldn't eat or couldn't sleep because he was working on his senses. See, smell, touch, taste, and feel. I can guarantee you he thought those lions are enjoying all those senses right now. A good Jewish boy. One that's nobility. Oh, I can see him right here in front of us. And I'm about to touch him, and I'm getting ready to taste him. And that's how the king was doing. See, the king was going along with the enemy's senses instead of going in godly senses. My friends, listen to me. Don't get caught up with the five senses of the enemy. Don't get caught up with the enemy's mandates and what he says he's going to do. The king worried all night long, and he knew what was going to happen. There wasn't even going to be a bone left in the bottom of that den, but out of some kind of fledgling hope, he comes up in the morning, and he walks up to the place where it is. He says, move the stone back. I hate to look down in there, but they probably cleaned it all up by now, the bad guys. And he did at first light, verse 19, of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he said this in an anguished voice. He said, Daniel, I have heard of the exploits of the Most High God in your life. I've heard how you prophesied and it's come true. I've seen God move in you, and I've heard the story of Belshazzar when he walked away from God, from the teaching of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and he used the temple's vessels, and he mocked God, the God you serve. I've heard the story, how the handwriting on the wall came and the words, meeny, meeny, tekel, you farson, which says, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That very night, I took his life, and I know the power that's in your life. Oh, Daniel, has your God preserved you? And he said, God, I've been down here all night long in a prayer meeting, praising him, worshiping him, and guess what, God? It's dawn. It's morning. But already I've been praising him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. I praised him. And at noontime, when you let me out of this thing, I'm going to praise him again in absolute consistent praise without a break in it, regardless of the circumstances. You don't understand, Pastor, right now. Things are so bad in my life right now, I can't think about praising God. And that's when you ought to be praising God. You're going to break the chains on those things. God, you don't understand. I'm in a situation where they're dangling me over the very pit of hell right now. And I'm feeling like that old thread's about to burn. And I just don't have praise in me. It's not your senses. It's the power of the vine going to the branches. You're his child. Praise him anyway. Give him glory anyway. You see, it's praise that changes your life. Oh, Pastor, all you are is a bunch of emotionalism. No, this isn't emotionalism. This is a life that's watched the power of God work when I follow the principles of God. And I make no apologies to any man or any organization or anyone else that I believe in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God who rests in a man that can give him the word for his life and your life that you can be free from the little dangly chains that try to attach themselves to you. When God has given you exoneration and freedom from prison. Well, the king got beside himself. And let me tell you what happened when the victory came. Now look at this. The lion's den was the vehicle to praise. And praise was the power to the victory. Do you hear that? Your lion's den isn't what it appears to be. Because in every other case, the lion's den was to eat them up quickly. But in your lion's den, it's a place of rest. What? It doesn't feel real peaceful down here to me right now. I can hear them growling. The air of their paws are going by my head. But I'm going to tell you something. All of you that are here right now, regardless of where your mind is, your body's here. You're here. You're here. And the threats and the possibilities are what those are. Those are the wind off the paw. But as soon as you walk up close enough for him to reach you, he's going to lay down. And in the lion's den, he rested and slept on the side of a lion. I remember being in the Masai Mara, where the Masai warriors stand in those red robes. Those spears, those knives, the red-bladed knives that show they killed a lion. And I remember driving down through the middle of, there's no roads, by the way. You just drive through the grass. And looking down on a pride of lions laying on the side of the road. They're big. They're real big. And I remember some wildebeest coming up through a field, and all of a sudden it scared me. I mean, I jumped. I don't know if anybody else did, but all of a sudden a flash, like a shadow of darkness, went whoo, right through there, and a lion. I couldn't believe the speed of this lion as he took out after the grass through a wildebeest. Dear God, what power those things have. You see, that lion's den was no joke, and yours isn't either. I'm not minimizing your circumstances. I'm telling you there's a God that can maximize you in the circumstances that no prison can hold you. And as soon as you use the vehicle that God chooses you for you, and understand that's all it is, that gets you to that place of victory, because praise is what will do it, then I'm going to tell you something, then you're going to start affecting people around you. Darius, the king, wrote to all people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. He said, may you prosper greatly. I've got something to tell you. That was an introduction that he always used. And he said, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Woo! You see, the God of Daniel couldn't keep... That God wouldn't allow Daniel to stay in the lion's den. He broke it through praise. And then this is what this unlearned heathen said. For he is the living God. If he is, say amen. Amen. And he endures forever. Say amen if you believe that. His kingdom will not be destroyed. Amen. His dominion will never end. Say amen. He rescues and he saves. Amen. He performs signs and wonders, amen, in the heavens and on the earth, amen. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion, amen. And say this with me, and he will rescue me in Jesus' name. My friends, listen to me. Praise is the power that will break the chains that are dangling on you, that are keeping you from that step that you're wanting closer to God. You try to get more of God. You want more of God. You're in the middle of a circumstance, and these things rattle, and every time you think that you're going to stand and praise God and worship God and Lord, I'm going to go to church. I'm just going to put all my troubles behind me. Anybody said that walking in here today? I'm going to put my cares at the door, Lord, and I'm going to come in there, and I'm going to worship you. But what the connotation of that is, but as soon as I'm done, then I'll pick them up like a good boy and walk back out with my chains on again because, you know, this is reality. I've heard people say that to me till I'm tired. They say, you know, Pastor, you have to be a realist. You have to understand that life is life and situation is situation. I do, but I know God is God and God's able to fix them. And that's what I'm telling you. If I can convince you this morning that you, through the power of praise in your life, can take away those dangling reminders of what's out there and what you're facing every day and live in the power of absolute peace and deliverance and freedom, that is the only thing that's going to come through the vine. Do you think, hold on just a second. Jesus is the vine, isn't he? You know what it said? Luke 15. So Jesus says to the vine, says to the branch, hey, Pastor Brad, I got a word. You better be worried this week. So I'm going to inject some worry in you. Well, that'd make you worried, wouldn't it? If the vine put it in you. Because what fruit's going to come then? Worry. Yeah, I tell you what, I don't want this to upset you at all, but you got a trial facing you. I'm going to try to make it easy, but don't look good. Hope you make it. That vine, if that goes in you, where's your confidence? Where's your courage? Where's your hope? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and take it. That's what we do. You know, this is life. Let's be realists. That's not real. Not if you're a branch on the vine. The branch says this. I can do all things through Christ Jesus' strength in me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me and in me and through me. That there is nothing that can come my way, height or depth or principalities or powers or death or life or angels or demons or nothing can separate me from the blessings of being a branch. Hallelujah. Nothing. I just got to understand who I am. I've got to understand that what comes in me is the nutriment of the vine, and I'm not going to hook myself up to a demonic, devil, blaspheming, antichrist world that's going to inject poison in me and tell me I can't when God told me I can. So let's get rid of these chains that when you stand and praise God, you're semi-free, but you hear the rattling of the chains. Let me end it with this little note. The Bible says in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts that once in verse 16, chapter 16 of the book of Acts, once when we were going to a place of prayer, sounds like somebody telling a story, doesn't it? We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now, people could even put a spiritual slant on that. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." Let me tell you something. Everything that says Jesus isn't of Jesus. The devils know who Jesus is. Amen? Satan knows who Jesus is, and he's constantly saying he can't help it because it's the power of God that causes Satan to be subject to Jesus, that always recognizes him. When the demonic of Gadara was on the side of the road, what he said, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He recognizes them. This girl recognized who they were. And they're telling you the way to be saved. She wasn't a missionary. She was demonically controlled. She kept this up for many days, and finally, Paul got tired of it. Now, he was having a revival and people were getting saved, but here was these little chains around him by this voice that kept saying, "These are men of the Most High God. They're trying to tell you how to be saved." And some people say, "Well, that was spiritual." It wasn't spiritual. It was demonic. She was having to. She had to bow to the presence of the Holy Spirit, and she had to acknowledge God. Believe me, no devil in hell likes to do it. They have to. They're under the foot of Jesus Christ from the cross. Calvary. Finally, Paul turned around in a troubled spirit and he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." And at that very moment, the spirit left her and her talents were gone and they got mad. So they took Paul and Silas. In verse 22, the crowd joined in an attack against them, took them to the magistrate and they stripped them and they beat them severely. The Bible says they were flogged severely. And after they had been severely flogged, in verse 23, they threw him into the prison. The jailer then got a command not only to put him in jail, but put him in the inner prison. And so he put him down in the dungeon to the inner cell and fastened their feet to stocks. But about midnight, everybody say about midnight. Here it comes. Here it comes. Paul said, "Now look, just a second. I'm here. My back's been beaten. I'm in the inner cell of an inner cell. I've got stocks around my feet. But the one thing that they can't do is keep me from praising." That's it. So regardless of how bad my circumstances are, God's still God. Amen? And I'm still a branch. How many of you know that when the devil comes to you and tries to destroy you, that even makes you a bigger branch? You just hold on tighter to the vine and more of that nutriment from the vine pumps into you. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you," what? "Until the end of time." He said, "I'll be closer to you than a brother." So you get more and more and more of this power in your life. And then this happened. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. And here's what happened. And this is what's going to happen this morning for some people here. You say, "Well, Pastor, you haven't got us worked up to a frenzy." I don't have to do that. because I'm not going to do anything. But I can whisper the rest of this thing and tell you, and there's going to be people come down here at the end of this service, and there's going to be chains that break loose, and you're going to know it. Why? How can you say that, knowing the future? I don't know the future, but I know the Holy Spirit, and I know He knows the future. I know what He told me. I know He told me there's people here this morning that are servants of God. You've got the Word in you. You're trusting Him. But circumstances, you've been freed from sin. You're saved. You've been freed from all that stuff, but you've got some cuffs on you that are keeping you from the total freedom that you're wanting in God. And you know who you are this morning, but you didn't know how to get rid of them. This morning, Holy Spirit's showing you how to get rid of them. As soon as Paul and Silas, with their backs broken and with stripes on their backs and hurt and put in blocks and chains and in the inner prison, the Bible says at midnight they begin to sing praises to God and hymns, and all the other prisoners were listening, and suddenly in verse 26, the Bible says in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and that's just exactly what's going to happen in your life this morning. There's going to be an earthquake inside you. I may not see it or hear it, but I know one thing, you're going to know it because it's going to shake the foundations of the prison you're in right now, and it's going to show you that you are a branch from the vine, and there's nothing but Jesus flowing through your veins, and there's no devil in hell can take your joy and your peace and let you live in the freedom that God has intended to you to, not just physically, not just financially, not just health-wise, but I'm talking about the spiritual freedom to be what you want to be in God and quit standing on the fringe of who you want to be and get into the water. I was joking the guys this week while I was down there, and God's Spirit just came around. We were standing on the stage of Johnny Minnick's church, and he was playing a new song he'd written. I was standing right here, and I could feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in that place. Couldn't you? It was incredible presence of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, people began to weep. Dr. Debbie Thomas was standing here, and her husband, Pastor Norman Thomas, a great black pastor from Louisiana, has churches all over the country. And I saw Debbie just begin to weep and cry, and I saw others standing around that piano begin to weep. And as I was standing there like that, I felt that presence of God, and I thought, God, chains are being broken right now. Why? Because of the anointing of God that's coming. The anointing of God breaks the yoke, doesn't it? It breaks the chains. And I just felt His presence while those songs were going on and the freedom that was coming on. And you know what I said? It was joking, but I wasn't kind of either. One of my favorite movies is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You know, old Pete looked up to Delmer after he got baptized. He said, come on in, boys. The water's fine. And I thought, God, come on in, church. The water's fine. God has prepared a baptism for you of freedom, of joy, of peace, of fullness. And it's time to come down and get a little bit of it and listen and live in the fullness of the branch from the vine and be free to be who you are in Jesus Christ. The foundation began to break. Once all the doors were open, they flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Say it with me. Everybody's chains came loose. Okay, half of you said that. You say, Pastor, you're being silly. I'm not being silly. Everybody look up at me this morning. How many wants unity in this place right now? Unity can break any devil's hold on anything. Say this with me. And everybody's chains came loose in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet with me right now. I'm going to ask you to do that with me. I'm going to ask you in praise. Here's how we're going to start. I'm going to ask everyone that can stand. If you can't, then just lift your hands. But I want you to pray this with me right now. I want you to pray what I just said, and everybody's chains came loose. Begin to pray that right now. Father God, we're praying that every chain in this, the chains. Now, God, you've already shook the foundation. You have broken hell's grasp on us, and you have given us eternal life. But, God, there are chains that are still rattling on our wrists and on our feet where you have separated us from sin. But there's residue, there's situations, there's past, there's present, there's futures that we're concerned about. But the power of God says that everybody's chains fell loose. And when they did, Lord, there was a praise that went out through that prison. They walked out because no prison can hold praise. No prison can hold praise. No chains can hold praise. But they have to release in the name of Jesus. They have to release in the name of Jesus.